And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster back in the saddle live with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, it's a good thing we are not traveling today, and especially by air. What a mess, huh?
It is a mess. And apparently some of the airlines are going to have folks in Washington take a look at what the heck's going on.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. It's the Buckmaster Show. Hoping everyone had a joyous Christmas and Hanukkah. Today being Wednesday, December 28th, 2022, our midweek edition. Of course, between Christmas and New Year's, you kind of forget what day it is, but it is Wednesday, midweek edition. We're celebrating 12 years, 12 full years on the radio at the end of this week. We will launch into Lucky 13 on Monday. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on the campus of Bustos Media Tucson, the radio station we come to you on, 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, the call letters KVOI, The Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will be doing momentarily, those interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will Humble is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. Will has more than 30 years in public health, including more than two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including the agency director from 2009 to 2015. We're delighted that Will is the Buckmaster Show contributor on public health. He appears on this program once a month. Let's go now on the live line to Phoenix. Will, how are you? How did the Christmas go?
Yeah, good afternoon, Bill. Everything's going just fine. We got a lot of family in town from Iowa, so they're enjoying the nice weather. Well, today they're a little disappointed, but at least it's not below zero.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're lucky you're not out at Sky Harbor Airport waiting for a flight.
Yeah, everybody got here in time. Some of them even drove.
Well, here we go. We're going to lose Dr. Cullen. Dr. Cullen, for folks that don't know, is the very able and very transparent. We've loved her on this show. She's always been willing to come on. She's the director of the Pima County Health Organization, and she's going to become the state director under the new administration. So she'll be taking over basically a job you once held.
I loved that job. Yeah, I was in that job during the Brewer administration. I love that job. We had a great staff. It's a great mission. We were able to accomplish a lot in those years, and I'm confident that Director Cullen will do really well. I know that the other county health officers are like really happy to see Dr. Cullen in that state job. The counties have been a little frustrated over the last several years with, you know, the decision making at the state and the lack of accountability in some of the public health programs. And I know they're really looking forward to Dr. Cullen being in that lead position. I think she'll do a great job. But it is, like you said, it's a bad thing for Pima in a way, because she provided really good leadership during the pandemic. She took over, I think, in June of 2020, right after Dr. Bob England left.
Well, the office is still in very good hands, because Dr. Cullen served along with Dr. Francisco Garcia, who heads up the entire health umbrella in Pima County, and he's not going anywhere, thank goodness. He's a terrific asset to the area, so we'll still be well-served, Will.
I agree, yeah. This is a good thing. You're losing her, sort of, down in Pima, but the state's getting her good leadership. I'm really pleased.
All right. Hard to believe. 3-year anniversary of COVID will be coming up here in a couple of months. There's a lot to unpack here. The situation in China is awful. But I'm sorry, but who couldn't foresee this was going to happen? You lock people down trying to stop COVID, which is impossible. You lock them down for 3 years, then suddenly all the restrictions are off. Of course you've got a mess, Will.
Well, you know, one of the things that is happening in China is, like you mentioned, there was compulsory testing all the time. People were getting tested all the time. And then they had really strict protocols on isolation and quarantine when there was a positive case or a contact. And so that gave people comfort that they don't need to get vaccinated because there was so little virus circulating. Those interventions were like working over those years, the testing and the contact tracing. But when they removed those interventions, the virus had a field day, and it's having a field day amongst a population who's poorly vaccinated because there wasn't a compelling reason to get vaccinated because there was so little virus circulating up until now. So I'll just say one last thing, which is the people in China are really lucky that this virus has mutated over the last 2.5 years to become less lethal than it originally was with that initial Wuhan strain. Otherwise, it would be, it's really hard on their medical system. A lot of people are dying in China right now, but it would be a lot worse if this virus hadn't changed to become less lethal over the course of the last 2.5 years.
And there are a bunch of strains, Will, I understand, circulating in China, but basically they are related on the family tree, from what I understand.
Yeah, they're on the Omicron family tree. Super contagious, but far less lethal than those initial, that what we call the ancestral strain, or even Alpha or Delta.
Let's bring this closer to home on COVID. A closer look at Arizona. These numbers were released by the state Department of Health this week, and COVID-19 was the third leading cause of death in 2020 and 2021 behind heart disease and cancer, new data from the Arizona Department of Health shows. But this is really just the tip of the iceberg on this story. Life expectancy is now, 2.5 years less here in Arizona than before the pandemic. Could you kind of explain that, unpack that for our listeners?
Yeah, the big loss in life expectancy really happened in 2020. So that was pre-vaccine because of COVID-19, but also a factor has been, this fentanyl epidemic. Those two combined to reduce life expectancy in Arizona in 2020 by 1.7 years, which was the biggest decline since World War II, which, of course, was caused by the conflict in the Pacific and in Europe. So it was a huge loss of life expectancy in 2020. And the new data that came out last week, maybe it was this week, found an additional 0.6 years of reduction in life expectancy. So you put those two together to get that 2.4.
About 2.5 years.
Yeah, 2.5 years of life expectancy loss, and it's mostly COVID-19, but it's all, a chunk of it's also, this fentanyl epidemic that is, this COVID thing's going to get better over time, but this, I don't see an end to this fentanyl epidemic. It's such a difficult problem to solve.
You know, when the Governor Ducey in March of 2020 did institute some mitigation for COVID-19, I was just reflecting on that. That order didn't last very long, Will. Basically, it was about 2 months. That order was gone, and unfortunately, the worst of the pandemic was still to come.
Oh, yeah. The worst of the pandemic, let's do a little retrospective. The worst was really 2 years ago. So right after New Year's in early 2021, that was that's where the hospitals in Arizona were. I think 71% of all the hospital beds in Arizona were taken up by COVID patients. And remember, that was the Alpha strain of the virus, which is far more lethal than the strain that we have today. And enormous loss of life in Arizona in December of 2020, January and February of 2021. That was the peak of the lethal effect of this pandemic in Arizona. And as you mentioned, there was virtually no mitigation measures in place in Arizona during that time. Other states had capacity limits that were enforced, universal state requirements for masking in public places and so forth. And that just didn't happen here, and it allowed the virus to amplify with abandon. And one of the things we talked about back then is, you know, the virus really loves these indoor environments with alcohol, you know, clubs, bars, and nightclubs. And that's the place where the virus really amplifies. And the misconception is, well, you know, the people that go to the clubs are in their 20s and they're not, you know, susceptible to the virus. And that's true in terms of death, but they amplify the virus and then spread it to their family members and colleagues at work and seniors. And those are the persons that ended up in the hospital during those days. And that's where the enormous loss of life really came from. It's the lack of mitigation in that period of time right before the vaccine was widely available in early 2021.
After the break, Will, let's talk a little bit about some of the highlights or lowlights of public health. Before we go, though, since we still are talking about COVID, just this month, Arizona did overtake Mississippi as the state with the highest per capita death rate from COVID-19.
Yep, that says it all. And it wasn't, I got to tell you, Bill, it's not bad luck. It was decisions that were made. And a lot of people say, well, you know, we're an older state, and that's the reason why. No. The median age in Arizona is 38. The median age in the United States of America is 38. So we're not an older state, despite what people say.
All right. Let's take a break right here. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's had a great Christmas season. We're still looking ahead, of course. This is the break between Christmas and New Year's, so I strongly recommend Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. A Danish Kringle would sure go nice on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day to bring in 2023. We had some had a beautiful pie on our dessert table on Christmas from Mona's. Cherry pie. Did a cherry pie from Mona's, and my goodness, those dinner rolls. Wow, I could have just made a meal of Mona's dinner rolls for Christmas. Mona's Danish Bakery is their website. They are open right now for lunch. They're located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Be right back with Will Humble after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you. Will Humble is with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will, the Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association and the former Director of the Arizona Department of Health. Will, it's been quite a year for public health in Arizona. Why don't you hit on a couple of some of the high points for us before we wrap up 2022, excuse me, jump the boat a little bit.
Yeah, so I'll start with the high points that are good. For the first time in, I think, 14 years, the state legislature had a bipartisan budget this last legislative session, which meant that there was some investments in affordable housing through the Housing Trust Fund. There was some additional money given to the Adult Protective Services branch at the Department of Economic Security to, invest so they have better resources to investigate abuse and neglect of older adults. There was a whole bunch of additional money that was given to the Developmental Disabilities Network to provide better care for people in day programs and group homes and so forth. So I'd say if I looked at the bright spot for public health in 2022, it was that bipartisan budget that the legislature passed because it for the first time really gave additional resources to things like vulnerable adults, people with developmental disabilities, maternal and child health, better coverage under our state Medicaid program for postpartum care. So I that's the highlight, and that's a good thing.
What's a low light?
I think one of the most disappointing things is that there's a group called the Auditor General. It's not part of the Attorney General. It's part of the legislative branch of state government. And they wrote a report in April of 2022 that showed that the Arizona State Health Department, which Dr. Cullen will be leading shortly, it had just simply not followed up on thousands of complaints in nursing homes about substandard care, things like pressure ulcers, chemical restraints. I mean, really bad things happening in nursing homes got uninvestigated.
Wow.
And the Auditor General report that came out in April, it said not only were these complaints not investigated, the state health department took the high risk complaints, the things with the bad complaints, and reclassified them as low, which gave them extra time and made it appear as though they've fixed the problem. In other words, you take a high risk complaint that was supposed to be investigated within a week, you classify it low risk, and then that gives you a whole year to do the investigation. And then you say, oh, we've caught up. Believe it or not, that actually happened. And that's it hasn't been in the news. I don't think it's been picked up in the Star or even in the Republic up here. But to me, that's an example of gross misfeasance, if not criminal misconduct.
Well, Dr. Cullen's going to have her hands full, Will. That's right.
And you know what? They did get the budget I was talking about did give an additional appropriation to hire new inspectors to be able to go out and do those complaint investigations. So if your listeners are interested in jobs, and there's going to be jobs down in Tucson, too, and you've got some experience doing regulatory work with medical facilities, there's a lot of good, interesting jobs in the state health department coming up in the next month or two. And they'll have some good leadership for a change.
Of course, we had the news in July, the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, upending reproductive care here in Arizona. As we close out 2022, where does that stand, simply put, Will Humble?
So it's still in the courts, and the courts need to decide whether the law that was passed by the territorial legislature back in 1864 and then again in 1901 is the law of the land that prohibits all abortions except in where the life of the mother is at risk, or whether the recently passed abortion law that just limits abortions to those at 15 weeks of gestation or less. So there's two laws on the books, and the courts need to decide which one of those two is the law of the land. As of right this second, that 15-week law is what's in place. And so persons who want abortion care can get it at in Phoenix and Tucson. I think there may be a clinic in Flag, too. So that care is available for now, and I think in 2023 we can look forward to the courts giving some resolution about whether the old law from the territorial days is the law of the land or the new one. And of course, Governor-elect Hobbs has made it a priority to straighten this out legislatively. Whether that's possible given the new legislature, time will tell.
Will Humble is with us on our live line. Will, our contributor on public health, one of our two dozen or so contributors. We're so happy for the work he does for us here on the program. We began the year with Omicron, of course, in full swing. 30% of the beds were occupied last January, about a year ago, with COVID patients. Will, what's an update on that and what we've been hearing about, what do they call it, this triple threat? You've got influenza, COVID, and RSV. Where are we right now?
So fortunately, we're on the downward slope of all three of those. So we've had our run-up in COVID, which is pretty predictable that it comes in every 6 months. There's a new wave of COVID infections. That peaked, I would say, about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Still about 8% of the beds in Arizona are with COVID patients. So that's much better than it was a year ago. And that is on the decline. We had a terrible RSV, which is a respiratory virus epidemic, especially among kids, in the late fall. So that was really October, November. And the hospital beds, especially in the southern part of the state where you guys are, it was really tight for a long time, you know, just not having enough care staff, really, for the pediatric patients with this RSV. Now, it's still historically high. But it's definitely on the decline. So that's getting better. And then finally, influenza we have an influenza wave every year. I mean, it happens pretty much every year. The pandemic year it didn't. And that is, that was early season. A lot of times we peak in January, mostly we peak in January and February with influenza, but this year it came early. And I think the peak we will in retrospect, look back and say, the peak of influenza infections were probably at the beginning of December. So a lot of those viruses are all circulating. I don't want listeners to think like they're not around because it is circulating, but at least all three are getting better, not worse.
All right, let's go to the live line. State lawmaker Andrea D'Alessandro with us on the live line. Andrea, just a few seconds here for your comment, please, or question for Will Humble.
Good morning. I want to thank Will. In case he had any part of the Medicaid restoration under Jan Brewer in 2013, I had a chance personally in November, and I can't help thinking how much worse the COVID situation would have been with so many that would have been uninsured if we hadn't taken advantage of Obamacare and did the Medicaid restoration. And so thank you, Will.
Thank you, Andrea, and Happy New Year to you. Go ahead, Will, quickly.
Thanks, and I was fortunate to be able to work for Governor Brewer, and I really loved working for her. She was a really terrific governor to work for. And I think when she looks back, she would tell you today that that's probably the thing that she's the most proud of is, you know, doing that Medicaid restoration and expansion, which really helped not just what we just saw with COVID, but in particular the behavioral health system, people with serious mental illness, people with opioid use disorders and other kinds of things. You know, had she not taken that leadership role, and if she hadn't marshaled that bipartisan group of lawmakers that year, we would have been a world of hurt, not just because of COVID, but a lot of other things. So thank you for your leadership, Representative.
All right. Will Humble, we're going to wrap it up with you, and we want to wish you and yours. I'll let you get back to your lunch with your relatives. I hope you have a great Happy New Year, and we'll talk in January. Will Humble, thank you, Will.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. It is Wednesday, but of course, between the holidays, what day is this? People always say, I don't remember what day this is. Well, it is Wednesday. And if you were one of the many people, the hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who bought poinsettias from Green Things, thank you very much. There may be a few around still over there at Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, so it might brighten up your New Year's Eve. Their 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo, all that beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Their websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, after the first of the year, will be entering their 53rd year of business here in town, and they are open daily. All right. In 2021, a team of 14 scientists, including two from the University of Arizona, announced proof that fossilized human footprints had been left as much as 23,000 years ago, making them by far the oldest definitive sign of human activity anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. Two new papers were published within the last couple of weeks, seeking to cast doubt on whether the footprints unearthed at the White Sands National Park in New Mexico are really as old as they appear. Joining me in studio, Dr. Bill Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in town. And Dr. Doley is one of our two dozen or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Doley, Bill, how are you?
I'm really good, Bill, and it's nice to be in the studio.
It is, yeah. Normally we have you on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I think back to September 21. You were actually with us on the live line when this news broke. The news kind of broke about an hour before I put you on the spot and said, Bill, what the heck is going on? So here we are, and it's still, at the time, of course, something breaks like that. There's not a lot of controversy. Why don't you set the table for us on this?
Sure. That was the day you really freaked me out, Bill.
I did freak you out. But listen, in archaeology, this is not only in archaeology, but this was really one of the top stories, certainly of the year 2021. And it continues to be really interesting to people because we're talking about a lot of time between 23,000 years and the previously established 13,000. Set the table
for
us.
Sure. I mean, there's a big story that's global that, you know, humans evolved over in Africa and, you know, the Western Hemisphere was bereft of people. There were no people here. And mm-hmm. So when did they first arrive?
Yes.
And that's a big, basic question that archaeologists and other scientists have been interested in a very long time. So there's a really kind of calm and consensus around 13,000 years ago that these Clovis hunters were on the landscape here. And the word out of the White Sands National Park, which is east of Las Cruces over in southern New Mexico, was that here we have seven layers of, you know, stratigraphy, layer after layer, laid down over time. And there's footprints in each of those layers, human footprints.
Hmm.
So nobody's saying that, oh, those aren't footprints. Mm-hmm. Those are some of humans. They're, mm-hmm. That's fully accepted.
Mm-hmm.
The big question is, how old are they? And mm-hmm. is there something wrong maybe with the radiocarbon dates that relate to those footprints?
So that's a lot of you know, we're talking about maybe 8,000 to 10,000 years. And the Clovis, when you say the Clovis hunters, is that where they found arrowheads? They were called Clovis arrowheads?
Big spear points, right. And down near Naco, Arizona, mm-hmm. was a big excavation back in the 50s and well established, and other places all across the North America.
So where are we now on this, and why is there a controversy?
Well, again, everybody sees human footprints, mm-hmm. and what they wonder about, though, is, you know, what are they dating, and why is it, you know, giving us these old dates? Might there be problems with the specimens that are being dated? It's a aquatic plant. This, again, was an ancient freshwater lake called Lake Otero out there. And the people were going down, probably many of them were youth, gathering water and taking it back to a camp. So this near shore along a stream setting has the seeds of this aquatic plant. And one of the things that the original researchers considered is this taking up old carbon. So the plant may be taking in old carbon, and it may be giving a much older date than actually the layer that it represents. So that's what the two most recent critiques have looked at. One actually found a modern seed of this same plant and dated it, and it was 7,400 years older than present day. So that's kind of gets you scratching your head. Mm-hmm. And the other recent critique was that, well, there's storms and things like that that cause the sediments in the lake to get pushed up, and that may be what is being dated here. So they're going after the dates. I think I haven't been able to get a direct answer from the scientists, but these are similar to the first two articles right out of the box that came back and critiqued this. So I think that the researchers are probably saying, well, you know, we consider that, and we're still sticking with our story that our dates are good. They got them in nice stratigraphic, all those seven layers, the dates lined up in the proper order. So it was a bombshell article, but mm-hmm. we're still, it's going to take a while to, they're trying to date pollen, use a different material, and see if that gives a different set of dates. So that's been promised by the original researchers. We haven't heard the answer back yet on that one.
So it's basically, revolving around these particular seeds, the controversy, and I'm not sure, maybe our listeners are not sure about how it works. How does carbon dating work? Could you briefly explain that?
Yeah, I mean, when plants are growing, they take up carbon from the atmosphere, and there's certain isotopes of carbon that decay at a predictable rate. Mm-hmm. So that's what's being measured. So it's a kind of a built-in time clock, and so it takes fancy equipment to do it, but it's a well-established technique in geology, archaeology, and those kinds of sciences.
There's a very well-known perspective from one of your colleagues in the field, an archaeologist. Could you kind of talk about a model that he has developed about this?
Yeah, this is a illustration of, you know, kind of creative thinking. Mm-hmm. Archaeologist who got his degree here at the University of Arizona, Todd Surivel, and he says he doesn't like these old dates. Anything over than about 15,000 years, he's not willing to
really
to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, think about how human population coming into a new environment would have increased over time.
Yes.
So if you bring 100 people into the new world and they're going to double, he's saying like population tends to thrive in a new environment, mm-hmm. and they'll double in 70 years.
Right.
And if you take 1,000 years, they'll double 14 times.
Wow.
You'll have 800,000 people out of that original 100 in a millennium.
Uh-huh.
So he's saying it shouldn't be this hard to find these really old sites. We can find Clovis sites. So he's making the argument that it just doesn't make sense from a human demography kind of point of view.
I think he might be onto something there. I mean, just it sounds, what he's saying, there's some logic to that. Like, why are we just finding this one site? I mean,
exactly. And he doesn't like that we find an old site and then we, you know, pick it apart and we haven't resolved this in all the, you know, 30-some years he's been a scientist.
Bill, we had a listener send me a message on Facebook, any relation to the Clovis points also found in New Mexico. Are the Clovis points the same thing I asked you about, the spearheads?
Clovis is widespread all across North America, so they were originally documented in Clovis, New Mexico, and also...
So that's how the name Clovis.
Right.
And so when you find these, they're not going to just be found in that area of New Mexico.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they've been found literally in extinct mammoths and mastodons and creatures like that. So they're definitely, back in that era, and they're well dated as well.
Well, it kind of goes back to what this archaeologist is saying, that if they're spread all over, there were a lot of people, relatively a lot of people, that were living in this Clovis time.
Right. I mean, I did the math a little further, and if you had groups of 50 with those 800,000 people, yes, there would be 16,000 camps every night.
Oh, and my goodness. So there would be more evidence, according to this guy.
Yeah, many of those might not show up in the archaeological record, but if you got four a year, there'd be at least 64,000 sites every year generated.
Interesting perspective. Yeah. All right, more with Bill Doley. We'll talk about kind of the first farmers here in Tucson. We have a very, very rich archaeological history here in Tucson. We'll talk a little bit more with Dr. Bill Doley, our archaeology contributor, as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, want to wish all of our listeners a very, very happy holiday season. And if you have some time off, how about a road trip? Only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You can start your planning, and I hope you do. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for great information about what to do and where to stay and even where to dine. There's some great places in Silver City, some great Victorian architecture as well. And since Bill Doley is with us, president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, Dr. Doley knows this very well, that Western New Mexico University, Bill, has what is considered at their museum there, and I've seen it. It's a great collection, one of the finest, perhaps one of the maybe the finest collection of Mimbrace pottery in the world there.
Yes, that Mimbrace pottery, the black and white designs are striking, and they have a fabulous collection of that there in the museum at the university.
And the Mimbrace people, Bill, were like from about around 13... When did they live? 1300 AD or something?
Well, they go from... No, they actually begin earlier than that. Okay. You see a progression of development from the 700s into the 900s, and they really are thriving in after the 900s.
Mm-hmm.
And design-wise and that and dispersed probably across the landscape in after about 1130, 1150 AD.
Well, if people visit Silver City, and I hope they do, take the road trip, not very far, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes north of Silver City to the Cliff Dwellings, Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument.
Another nice little hike and beautiful countryside.
It's really pretty up there. And that's one of the first national monuments. That goes all the way back to the first President Roosevelt, to Teddy Roosevelt, back in the early 1900s, but it's a great site.
Yes.
All right, here in Tucson, we have our own buried floodplain, the Santa Cruz River's buried floodplain that reveals lots of secrets, doesn't it, Bill Doley?
Yes. I mean, this is a place we're lucky in Tucson to have those geologic layers preserved down in our near our downtown area. We're lucky to have the descendants of the people who lived across along that river there with the Yaqui and Otom people. Mm-hmm. And you're also, I guess, blessed or burdened with probably more archaeologists than any place else in the United States.
there are a lot, right?
Yes.
And a lot of that pedigree goes to the University of Arizona, doesn't it? And where archaeology started many, many years ago, really going back to almost the founding of the University of Arizona.
Absolutely. You've got the university, the State Museum, the National Park Service, a lot of private firms and nonprofits like Archaeology Southwest.
Yeah, and UA Archaeology is always considered as one of the best in the United States. And so just to kind of tie into our first segment where we were talking about, epic numbers, dates back to 21,000 to 23,000 years ago at White Sands, this fossilized human footprints, perhaps that old at White Sands National Monument. Give us on scale, what are we talking about here in the Santa Cruz Valley?
Well, I found a Clovis Point on an archaeological site just on the south side of Tucson.
Really?
Back in 1983.
Wow.
And it was in a much more recent site.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was found on the landscape by someone who lived down near Valencia Road along the Santa Cruz. So we clearly have people living here in that 13,000 year ago kind of time frame.
Wow.
And pretty much continuous occupation ever since. And one of the exciting things that's come out of the floodplain recently in the last 20 years is how much early farming was important here in Tucson. We get maize or corn coming out of Central Mexico, arriving in Tucson about 4,100 years ago, maybe even a little older than that. And again, this is where radiocarbon has been used extensively to find these little tiny bits of maize and date them. And consistently, we're seeing that 4,000, 4,100 time marker as a clear, strong starter for farming in this valley.
And some of these ancient grains are being revived.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of one of the reasons Tucson was named City of Gastronomy, and the work they're doing at the Mission Garden.
The City of Gastronomy, it's a UNESCO program, and it was a big deal to apply for it. It didn't succeed the first application. The second application, it was approved, and it recognized the 4,000 years of agricultural history here in the community, and then all of the food traditions that have been built on that. If anyone goes to Tucson Meet Yourself, which is oftentimes glossed as Tucson Meet Yourself.
Yep.
Yes. You know how diverse our food culture is here in this community. So, but the deep time depth that goes is another unique element of this community.
Well, the early talk about Rio Nuevo was the Rio Downtown Redevelopment Project. A lot of that was on the west side. And there's some mitigation efforts that will have to be done on. There was a garbage dump that's going to take a lot of money to clean up on the west side. But there's a lot of history on that west side.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there in the Mission Garden, which is, again, right at the base of A Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
The land is actually owned by Pima County, and the Friends of Tucson's birthplace are, you can visit there. It's a great opportunity to see some of these crops being grown. And they're trying to share the whole set of time periods that are, you know, in layer cake form there along the Santa Cruz, from the earliest farmers to the contact period autumn folks who were there to, you know, Chinese gardeners in the 1800s.
Before we tell people about your organization, when you talk about 13,000 years or even 10,000 years or even 8,000 years, yeah, this is one of the longest continuously inhabited areas of North America. Would you agree with that?
It is. A lot of places have these kind of long histories, but we have, you know, documented it very thoroughly here in this community.
Tell our listeners about what you do, Bill.
So I am a preservation archaeologist, and that's our mission at Archaeology Southwest. We're really focused on trying to connect the places and the stories of the past to the values and people of the present. So that, again, that's why I like that connection of to our City of Gastronomy, that this archaeological tradition and the indigenous history of this place are you know, being elevated in the people's consciousness in the community.
How can we find out more?
Well, we have a website.
Okay.
www.archaeologysouthwest.org, and we put out a weekly e-newsletter. You can sign up for that on the front page of the website, and we'll keep you up to date on what's happening literally all around the country and events that you can attend and get involved with here in the community.
New members are always welcome. I'm a member. Encourage everybody to join and become a member. And again, your website is archaeologysouthwest.org. Bill Doley, always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you and yours.
And to you, Bill.
All right. On behalf of Dr. Doley and Tom, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying we'll do it all over again in about 23 hours. Have a great afternoon.